I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening now as we come to the message from the Word of God in Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1, and that's page 590. Page 590. Psalm number 1. We're just going to read the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, the subject before us this evening is finding Christ in the Psalms, finding Christ in the Psalms. We might think that we only find Christ in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, but actually we find so much about Christ also in the Old Testament, which points to the coming and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our purpose this evening is quite simply to consider Psalm number 1, the first part of it, in the manner in which it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are told in the scripture, that is the Bible, the Word of God, to mark the perfect man. To mark the perfect man. Well, we know that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I haven't lived this life without any sin. I've done many things wrong, sadly. And so, in its most complete sense, Christ is the perfect man. He is the only one who has ever lived upon this earth and never done anything wrong. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross at Calvary, we read there were two men either side of him. And one of these men, as he was dying on the cross, looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said to his friend, his colleague, who was the other side, "This man has done nothing wrong." In his dying moments, he saw Jesus in his perfection. He marked the perfect man, the blessed man. So it is by our union, our faith in Jesus Christ, that we will become as the blessed man described here in the Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's only as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in him and we're walking with him and we're trusting in him, we're in union with him, that we ourselves can know the experience of being a truly favored man or blessed woman, as described here in Psalm 1. The first part of the psalm then describes this blessed man. And this blessed man is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, whenever we come to passages of scripture like this, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and we see descriptions of a righteous person and walking with in the right way, and we feel very challenged by it, quite rightly so, then we need to go to Christ. We need to go to Christ. The first part of the psalm describes the blessed man, and this blessed man is perfectly fulfilled in Christ. And the same principle of application comes if we look at the New Testament. So I'm just going to read you a few verses from Matthew chapter 5. And there in Matthew chapter 5 we have what is called the Beatitudes. And they describe the character of the blessed man, very much like Psalm 1. And there in that in those Beatitudes, they are perfectly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some remarkable descriptions of the blessed man there. Jesus is teaching the multitude there on the mountain, and he's saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these descriptions here of the blessed man are perfectly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at these passages and we are somewhat challenged by them. We wonder, how can we live according to this? Well, there is a way we can live in Christ Jesus. As we trust in Christ Jesus, as we're seen in him, and God sees us in union with his Son, Jesus Christ, then we are truly blessed people, and we can walk out these characteristics according to our union with Jesus Christ. So whenever we come across verses like this, which speak of profound examples of how to walk with God, and we're challenged by them, go to Christ. Trust in Christ. Look to Christ, because he will have fulfilled these absolutely perfect. Because only in union with Christ can we possibly walk out such testimonies as these. And the second point I'd like to make to you this evening, and it is really by way of warning. You will notice here that this psalm is separated into two parts. The first part I read to you, verses 1 to 3, is speaking about the blessed person, and the one who trusts in God and is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the final three verses are speaking about the ungodly and what a contrast. The believer, the blessed man, is rooted like a tree by the rivers of water. He's solid, he's firm. But we read the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away, gone in a moment. And the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, dear friends, as we look to verses like this, we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and find our stability, our security, and be rooted in him, that we might find comfort and hope. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is such a wonderful, blessed person. He is the truly blessed man, and he says he's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to heal those who have are broken in their lives, to comfort them and to restore them, to mend them. That is the wonderful work of Christ to needy sinners. But the point I'm making here is the simple divide of the world. The saved ones in Christ Jesus are known as the godly, but the unsaved ones are known as the ungodly in verse 4. Now, we live in what is known as a multicultural society. And actually, society, which is very multicultural, people of many nations all gathered, even in our country. But if we think about the world with all its nations and all its cultures, actually, when God looks at the world, he sees it quite simply divided into two groups: believers and unbelievers. He sees the world made up of godly and ungodly, as believers and unbelievers. And this Psalm 1 is making this awesome comparison between the two groups of people. And from this Psalm we learn that in God's sight, there are only two groups of people here in this world: the righteous and the unrighteous. Those that are trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that are rejecting God, known as the ungodly. And this evening, we are either in one group or the other. We might like to think we're in a special group or another group or a diverse group, but actually, in God's sight, according to his word, there are just two groups of people, and they're made up of godly and ungodly, believers and unbelievers. And this is the stunning and incredible truth of this psalm. God's knowledge of us as human beings is remarkably simple and yet profound. And our great need this evening is to be found in the first three verses and not in the insecurity of the last three verses. But the wonderful news this evening is we can move from one to the other. As we repent of our sin, we really acknowledge that we have sinned before God and we've offended God. and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we look to him as our Saviour and our Lord and trust only in him, we can become a blessed person. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to take an exam. We cannot earn it. He simply says to us, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the word and the welcome of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say to me this evening, well, in what way do you see the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 1? What way do you see him in these first three verses? Well, while Jesus was here upon earth, he said something very profound about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He gave three descriptions of himself. The way, the truth, and the life. And in these first three verses, we have the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He's walking in the right way. He's walking in God's way. Now, when Christ lived here on earth, his counsel was always taken with his Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit. And he spent many hours in prayer with his Father, seeking to do his Father's will as the perfect man, the blessed man. And the counsel of the ungodly was totally rejected by Jesus Christ. And we see this in an extreme sense when Jesus was in the wilderness. And he was tempted by Satan terribly in the wilderness, tempted above any person has ever been tempted at all sorts of horrible things. And Satan's counsel at the end was for Christ to produce something material for him there and there. If you are God, if you are who you say you are, make those stones bread. Just show, just do something for yourself. And then he said, you can have the whole world and be the king of the world if you'll just bow down to me, Satan said. And then he said, be careless about your safety. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple and God will take care of you. And Satan attacked him in such terrible ways and it was horrible. And we have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has been tempted like as we are. And you may be in your own life tempted. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can trust in him because he understands about you. He understands what you're going through. He understands how Satan attacks you sometimes and tries to get you to do things that you really would not like to do. And Jesus understands. He is the merciful and the faithful high priest. Well, instead of taking Satan's lead and Satan's counsel, he took his Father's counsel in heaven. And that was that Jesus came here on earth to serve us, not to be served. He came as a servant. He came to be the Saviour of the world. And God's Father's counsel was motivated by love to needy sinners like me and like you. Satan's motivated by hatred and wrath and anger and bitterness. But God the Father's counsel is motivated by love to needy sinners. Christ delighted to do his Father's will and obey it in a spirit of love. And as Christ grew up into manhood, the scriptures tell us he learned obedience, even through suffering. He learned obedience through rejection. He learned obedience by being rejected by men and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But his walk was in accordance with his Father's good pleasure and purpose. He was the one in whom the Father was pleased and delighted in. And so the blessed person here is pointing us first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are ourselves a blessed person in Christ Jesus, it means that we will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We will not walk in the counsel of the world, but we'll walk in God's counsel. That means we'll look at the word of God and it will be our manual of life, our manual of life. That is our manual of life. That is our guide, our book whereby we are directed by God. That is the walking in the counsel of God, the right way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather in the counsel of God, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, what does this mean? We see here the testimony in the separation of the blessed man, Jesus Christ. Because while Christ ministered to sinners, he ate with them, he drank with them, he never compromised with sin, but he was holy. We read that this Lord Jesus Christ is described as a high priest who is holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He was separate from sinners in that he set a different standard and example. While here on earth, he would not join in with the sinful conversation and the crude jokes and the sinful attitudes. Jesus, though, did sit down and eat with sinners. He did sit down with those who were not believers, and he had supper with them, he had meals with them, but he didn't become one of them in terms of the way they spoke and their attitudes of the world. He gained respect by being different. And that is what the blessed person does in Christ Jesus. They don't hate the world. They don't actually set out to be like the world. Actually, they gain respect for the Lord and they honor the Lord by understanding that they are called to be different, like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was separate from sinners. He set a different standard and example. But he didn't cut himself off from the world. He went into the world, and his evangelistic style, his ministry, was not to assimilate the world, but to be different from the world. He had the wisdom in, while he didn't condone sin, he didn't compromise with sin, but he didn't condemn sinners. He came to save sinners from that sin. So it was this refreshing approach of the Lord Jesus Christ that was so different. I remember many years ago when I first went out of the ministry, and I was working in on a Tuesday in a prison. And any case, I was introduced to one of the chaplains there, and this man was obviously smoking a lot and drinking a lot and swearing a lot. And he took me in to see this prisoner in a cell, and he was talking to him, and he said to me, "Now look, Christopher, you just got to speak their language. You've got to be one of them. You'll never reach them if you don't speak their language. You just got to be one of them to reach them." Well, he left me in the room with this prisoner, and he went out and he looked at me. He said, "You're not going to be like that man, are you?" He said, we want someone different to come into the prison, someone that we can respect, someone who speaks properly and straight and without swearing and doing all this sort of thing, because we want to be able to understand that a minister coming in is actually someone who's going to show us a better way." Now, that's what was said to me, and it really spoke to me. The blessed person is a person that separates, that understands that they are called now to walk in the way of the godly. The blessed man learns not to condone sin, but at the same time never condemns sinners. He reaches out by a godly testimony that separates him from a friendship with the world as being one of them. But this separation does not mean you being cut off. It means it does not mean being cut off. It just means not joining in the way of sinners. It means to live in the world, but not be of the world in its humanistic attitudes and actions. We reach out to the world. And then finally, in this first verse, we see the separation from the scornful. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, this word "scornful" here means people who are proud and conceited, people that despise others, people that look down on them as inferior. And Jesus, the blessed man, never, ever, ever did that. And yet he was the wisest person on the whole earth. In him were hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He was an incredible man, a very wise man, but he never, ever looked down and despised others. He never mocked the simple. Never. He actually avoided the company of those whose business it was to look down on others in a superior way. Jesus never looked down on others. He only looked into their eyes and conversed with a pure motive and ministry. So the blessed man, like the truly blessed man Jesus Christ, separates from those who scorn and despise the lowly, who look down on others as though they are really not at the same grade as they are. There is no place for that in Christianity whatsoever. The Lord loves all those that come to him in Jesus Christ equally. But you'll notice here that what the blessed man does not do here is actually a warning, because in verse 1 it's like a progression here. He is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's not walking or standing or sitting. And there's a progression here. First of all, an ungodly man is walking in the way of sinners. You know how it is at school. You perhaps begin to, or wherever it is you are, the contacts you might have, you begin to talk with people who are perhaps going to lead you in the wrong way. And it's a progression. And next you find that you're standing with them. You're conversing with them. And next you're sitting with them. You're really part of the group that they are in. And there's a progression here. And it's happened with Lot. You know, when Lot departed from Abraham, he went towards Sodom. And first of all, he just looked toward this wicked city. He just walked towards it. But he kept walking on and on and on, and he didn't stop. He pitched his tent toward it, and his door was open towards this ungodly city, and he kept walking closer to it. And then we find him standing in the city. He's actually dwelling in the city. And then we find he's sitting at the gate. He's actually like an elder in that city. He's completely immersed now around him with this ungodliness. And it really made him so unhappy. We read in the Bible, he was vexed. He was so unhappy. He realized he was trapped. And God had to rescue him. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do for us. And when we feel trapped in such an environment as that, the Lord Jesus has come to rescue us. So you see this progression here. Well, you know, this blessed man is resisting. And he resists walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He resists standing in the way of sinners. He resists sitting in the seat of the scornful. And as he keeps resisting, he gets his resistance, as it were, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's an exercise. When we exercise ourselves unto godliness, we become stronger spiritually. And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always filled with the Spirit in his ministry, but his witness of separation, as he constantly separated from evil, grew stronger and stronger and stronger. The more he was tested, the more he resisted. He just constantly resisted sin. That was one of the great characteristics of the life of the Lord Jesus. But then we move on, not only to Jesus in the way, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is the way. He's walking in the right way. And so Jesus walked in that way perfectly. He is the way. And then we read he is the truth. So in verse 2 we read, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's very interesting to notice how many times the Lord used scripture, the Bible, in his daily walk and ministry. We may think, well, the Lord was the Lord. He was the Son of God. Why did he need to use the Bible? Well, he used it because it was the inspired word of God. It was full of knowledge and truth and doctrine. He delighted in the word of God. Even though he was the word made flesh and dwelt among us, he delighted in the word of God. And that is why we see him on the road to Emmaus. You remember we read in the Gospel of Luke at the beginning of the service about two men on the road to Emmaus, They were very sad and cast down. They seemed to be confused in their minds and downhearted. And Jesus came along and he walked with them and he talked with them and he conversed with them. And they asked him about all that had happened in Jerusalem. And of course it was concerning himself and he was the risen Lord. But how did Jesus minister to them? He took the scripture, the Old Testament, and he preached about himself to them in all the scriptures. And as he used the word, the truth, their heart became warm and they realized that God was speaking to them through this preacher who actually they didn't recognize at the time was actually Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So the blessed man is one that delights in the law of the Lord. The blessed man, like Jesus, is one who delights in God's word, who meditates in God's word, who's directed by God's word. And the blessed man delights in this law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, especially in its Christ-centered nature. And he understands that the law of the Lord in his heart is not limited to daytime reading. He can speak in the night seasons. He says he meditates on it day and night. And that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. Now, I've got one of these things called a Kindle, and it's a great thing because when you've got you can't sleep at night, you open your Kindle and you can read it at night. You don't need a torch or the light on. You can read. Well, isn't it good if we are to use that in a profitable way? And here we find that the psalmist is saying that he loves to meditate day and night on the law of the Lord. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, while here upon earth, had the perfect example of using the Word of God, the Bible. One of the chief delights of Christ was in the law of the Lord. Well, the blessed man, as he follows the truly blessed person, Jesus, will delight in God's word. That's the second way. The way, the truth, that is Jesus, the truth. There he is in verse 2. And the life, finally, in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here, Christ as the life is meant the fruit of spiritual life. And here on earth, Christ, the blessed man, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He walked in perfect communion with the Father. And his life of obedience and prayer and separation, meditated on the Word of God, as the blessed man bore fruit. To be with Christ, the blessed man, was to witness the reality of living and walking in the Holy Spirit of God. His testimony was full of life and blessing and fruit. And so the blessed man is one who finds his nourishment spiritually from Jesus, the life, by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus described himself once to a woman by the well. And Jesus stopped at this well to have a drink, and a lady came to him and he started conversing with her, he knew all about her. He was the Son of God. He knew all about her life, and he said, look, you've had seven husbands. You've lived a very adulterous life in your here in the town. And she said, this man knows everything that I've done. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink from the water of this well? And the woman spoke, and Jesus spoke about himself as the water of life. And he said that if you drink of the water of life from me, if you trust in me, it will be like waters will be welling up inside you forever and ever, eternal, the everlasting water of life in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a picture of life and nourishment that comes by spiritually by believing in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You will notice here that the blessed man, like a tree, finds nourishment through the roots by the river. His state of blessedness depends on where his nourishment comes from. And only as a person walks in union with the truly blessed man, Christ Jesus, can they themselves be blessed. Where we're positioned by faith is so important for us. Planted by the rivers of water, planted in the place where we're going to get the most refreshment, the place where we're going to be blessed most in our souls. This is using picture language here. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is described elsewhere as the vine, and we bear fruit as long as we draw nourishment from the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. Well, Jesus Christ then is the way and the truth and the life. And we know life as we spiritually, as we trust in him. But finally this evening, we've been looking at this blessed man as it describes for us the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way he walked, in the way he loved the word of God, and the way that he is most assuredly the life, the source of spiritual life, the life, the truth, the way. Well, what is amazing is this perfect blessed man walked here upon earth with all those characteristics, but it's the same blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that when at the end of his life went to the cross at Calvary and gave his life as the blessed man on Calvary's cross, that we might become blessed ourselves, that he might pass on the blessing to us, that we might be blessed in him, that we might be favored in him, that we might be forgiven of all our sins, that we might be washed and cleansed, that we might be made right with God, that we might have peace with God. This perfect blessed man that walked perfectly in these verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 1 went to Calvary and he became sin for us. He took our load of sin upon himself and suffered for that sin before the righteous, holy justice of God, that as we trust in him and believe in this blessed man Jesus, we ourselves will become blessed because we will be right with God. And the way to heaven will be open to us, and we will be at peace in our hearts in Christ Jesus the Lord. And this speaks to us of security. It speaks to us of hope. It speaks to us of stability. It speaks to us of fruitfulness. It speaks to us of life and blessing. But how solemn it is if we remain in verses 4 to 6. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, we are born sinners. We're not born righteous. We are born as being ungodly. But we can become godly as we repent of our sin, and we put our trust in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and believe in him and follow him. We can be numbered amongst these first 3 verses. And we, as we follow the blessed man, the truly blessed man, Jesus Christ, we ourselves will become blessed in our own lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for the wonderful word of God. And we have so weakly really tried to speak of the wonders of the blessed man, the blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we do pray that thou would help us to look to him ourselves this evening, to trust in this blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we ourselves might know blessing and favor from God by his grace and favor in Christ Jesus the Lord. May it be so, O Lord, for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.